All right, this is going to be exciting today. I'm excited to have Robert speak for us today. And he does a great job in our Deaf Bible Church. He really does. And the thing that we're going to have today is Susan is going to be interpreting for him. And so we're going to have a woman preacher here today. So that'll be good. And I told her, I said, no matter what Robert says, just make it good, okay? So really the only ones that are going to know whether she's right or not are the Deaf Church, those that know how to interpret. So, Susan, go ahead and preach for us, would you? All right. No. Oh, my goodness. Where's Robert at? All right. Come on up here, Robert. I'm getting myself in trouble. Welcome, Robert, if you would, this morning.
That's funny that he has a woman preacher. Without a voice interpreter, I have no idea if you would understand my signs. Do you think you would? You'd probably sit here and just say, well, if you couldn't hear the voice interpreter, you could daydream and count the lights on the ceiling. There's all kinds of things you could do. I am glad to be here, though. I went to visit my family in Alabama just last week, and boy, was it hot. I didn't want to bring the heat back, but I'm afraid it is here. There, it's over 100. Most every day, and the heat index is around 110, 115, so it feels cooler here. When Pastor asked me to preach on this particular day, I've been praying ever since and just thinking about how Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith and how important it is to have a strong foundation for our faith in Christ. And I'd like to begin with 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, and I'll sign these verses for you. Okay, don't know if our PowerPoint's working, but we've got the Bible up here, so that's good. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let's begin in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for providing it for us and providing it to me. Help me to sign clearly this morning as I bring your word to the people. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with a voice interpreter as well, that your truth will be evident today as we hear your word and hear from you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So do you know when you sit down in a chair, you have confidence, right? You just park it in a chair. Typically, you would just sit down and you would think, well, I'm pretty confident in this chair. You don't think about it beforehand. But let's say one of the legs was missing or one of the rungs in the bottom of the chair was missing and you sat down and it would break. Well, probably the next time you sat down in a chair, you'd be a little bit more weary, wouldn't you? And you wouldn't have as much confidence in the next chair. But I can tell you, we don't have the verses up here right now, but we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We don't lose confidence in that. We have the Holy Spirit sealed in our hearts for eternity, and we can have confidence in God and trust in Him because of that through our salvation. So number one is God is eternal. God is eternal. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, that'll be our focus this morning. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm sure you've heard this verse over and over, and we have it memorized, that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. that's a mirror image of this verse right here as well. That Jesus Christ is the Word. And in your Bible, it should be a capital W. Hopefully it's a capital W. Most of our Bibles will show that, because that is speaking of Jesus Christ. In verse 3, it says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the light that Jesus Christ gives, an understanding. People in the world don't have that same understanding as you do. And so this morning you may sit here and you say, I don't understand what you're talking about, Pastor Robert. We should really kind of look at that and gauge that in a way to know whether or not we have Christ in our heart. And have you ever seen the infinity symbol? People use it all the time, and kids draw it in school. Susan and I were driving to Utah, and boy, that was a long trip. It took forever, we felt like. And we took pictures on the road. You could see the road way ahead. I don't know how many miles ahead of us we could see. She would take pictures, but the road was so tiny, and these huge mountains beside us, and it felt like the mountains never moved. We kept driving, and the big mountain was still there, still there, still there. We're driving along, and it's still there, and we're thinking, well, we're ready for the next mountain, so let's go. But it just took miles to get past these huge mountains, and just the amazing vastness of it, and how big God is, and how he created all of that. It was just amazing to see. I was there for a disc golf tournament, and one of the places that we played was up on the mountain, and it was pretty high. We had to take a ski lift to get up there, and just seeing out off that mountain was just beautiful. It was incomprehensible, just gorgeous, the things that God created. And all of these things exist because of God. Because if God didn't exist, none of us would exist, and none of this beauty would exist. I was just teaching in Sunday school this morning that a fool would say in his heart that there is no God. And that is foolish to think, because how can all of this be created by something else other than God? And so when we look out at our nation and we look out at people who, I mean, I don't know how you could look out on this beautiful country and say there is no God when there's such beauty there. And there's no excuse not to know that some higher being created all of this. All of these animals, the variety of fish, the variety of birds, all of these things created, all of these languages. I mean, our minds are so finite, there's no way that we could create something like this. There has to be a great God that created all of it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, let's look there. All right, Colossians 1:15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Invisible God, we can't see him like we can see each other. But in the beginning was God, and he created all of this. And he created all of us in his image. We were created in his image. Let's look in John chapter 17 and verse 3. John chapter 17, verse 3. It says, and this is the eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17:3 here, Jesus Christ is praying. He's preparing before being arrested. He's praying for the people. He's praying that God would use him in a way that no one else has ever been used. He knows the future. He knew what was to come next at the cross. And he did it all to save us because of his love for us. And so he was praying for us. And so thinking about that love that he has, there's no way that we could love anyone more than he loves us. We were born in sin, and yet he loves us. God knew that you would be born in sin. He knew that you would make mistakes, and yet he still sent his son to save you. I heard a preacher one time say that he would have died on the cross even if there was only one to save. But there are billions and billions of people on earth. From the beginning of time until the end of time, he came to save each and every one of them. Because he wanted a relationship with each and every one of us. He wanted a relationship with us, to be family. Not to enforce a bunch of rules on us and to command us to do things like puppets, but because he wanted to be our friend, because he wanted to have a relationship with us, because he wanted to love us personally and have a personal relationship, not side by side, not like roommates, but like a personal, close relationship. So point number two is that Jesus is the Son of God. I'd like to look in Matthew chapter 14, verse 33. Here it says, and then those who were in the boat... I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse here. Okay. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Let me give you a little background of this story. Just above this verse was the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men, if you include women and children in that number, there were many, many. So just 5,000 men were fed, plus women, children, probably 15,000. Bible doesn't tell us how many, but this miracle happened, and then Jesus sent the disciples out on the boat. He said, I will meet you there. You all get on the boat and go. And so they drifted off onto the boat, and Jesus went to pray again. It makes me think about my prayer life when I see how many times Jesus set apart some time to pray and how important that was for even Jesus to pray, how much more important it would be for us. But Jesus got alone and prayed, and I don't know if it was 3 or 4 in the morning, but it was in the fourth watch, probably 3 or 4 in the morning, and he comes to the boat. And the boat is experiencing some turbulence here. There's a storm, and they're bringing in the masts, they're bringing in the sails, and they're trying to just survive. And one of them, and I can't imagine Jesus coming up to the boat like that. Can you just imagine him walking on the water? And they're on the Sea of Galilee here. The Sea of Galilee is kind of narrow, and there's probably 3 or 4 miles across the sea. It's very long. It's several miles long, but about 3 or 4 across, and about 400 feet deep. And so I love to look at land and survey all that and just try to figure out what things look like back then. But It's fresh water. It was not a saltwater sea either, so you can investigate that for yourself if you'd like. But it was a freshwater sea, and Jesus is walking on the water, coming up toward the boat. And you remember, they're exhausted. It's stormy, and they're trying to not capsize, and they're out there, and they're thinking they're seeing a ghost. They think that there's a ghost out there. And so he reveals himself that it's Jesus, and they're in awe that he's walking on the water. And Peter, this is where he volunteers to jump out on the water. He wants to walk on the water too. So he steps out of the boat, keeps his eyes on the Lord, is walking. And then all of a sudden the wind starts to blow, and he takes his eyes off the Lord and starts to sink. That's the story that's happening here. And he talks to Peter, and he says, "Oh, ye of little faith," and grabs him up out of the water. And they get in the boat. The storm ceases at this point. And this is where they say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." They see these miracles happening. And they look to God, and they realize they are staring at the face of God right here. And he again rebukes them about their little faith and pulls Peter out of the water, gives him a second chance and third chance and fourth chance, just like us. We get lots of chances, and God gives those chances on a daily basis. In John chapter 11, verse 27, Pastor Larry has an iPad. I'm sure he's faster than I am. I have the old-fashioned sword drill up here with my Bible. Get me an iPad. All right. John 11:27 says, "She said unto him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." This is Martha speaking here. Jesus has asked her if she believed in the resurrection, and she said, "I do. I believe that you are the Christ." And so this is one verse that, you know, there's many verses here that speak that Jesus Christ and prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Many people attested to it, saw the miracles, and reverented God at this point. And as they accepted the Lord as their Savior, they recognized that he is God. You and I can become part of the family of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 is pretty famous. I'm sure many of you have this memorized as well. 1 John. It says, "These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." You can know 100%. Write it down. Mark it down. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And John here, he's talking about becoming a child of God, receiving Christ as your Savior, and becoming part of his family. When we become the Son of God, we talk about how God adopts us into his family. I remember when we adopted AJ, and we were signing the papers. We sat around a table, and we had to read all the legalese, and in the court they explain. And we learned something about adoption that day. When you adopt a child, it is forbidden by law to ever disown an adopted child. We didn't realize that. That was something that very interesting that we learned. So if we had our own biological son, we can disown a biological son. We could cut them off and not give them an inheritance. But the law protects children who are adopted. And forever, the rest of his life, he cannot be disowned or disinherited. He can't lose an inheritance. By law, they protect children who are adopted. We cannot disown him. We can disown our own kids, but we couldn't disown an adopted child. So if I die and my house is going to be willed to someone, I can, you know, we didn't have any biological children. We only have Avery. But think about us as adopted children of God. We can't be disowned. Once God has come into our life and we accept him as Savior, he says, you are mine and we are his. And so the emphasis here is how much confidence we can put in the Lord, that we will never lose our salvation. We will never be out of his family. I know that we live in a very materialistic world. And you know, America and other countries have nothing when we have everything. But we think about, how strong is my faith? It's really important that we consider that. How confident can I be in God? How strong is my faith? Am I really in the Word of God so that I can be out there facing the things that we have to face on a daily basis out in the world? I'm just human, just a simple human person. But without God, I have abilities to do things that I never thought possible. So point number three is Jesus is the Son of Man. And we're in John chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. In verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, 100% human, 100% God, deity on earth. Jesus knew. He knows how you feel. He knows the struggles because he faced them himself. He understands physical and financial struggles. He knows. He's been there. He lived it. And so he can personally understand, not just aware of it. He personally felt it, just like you do. And when we face a problem, when we face things that overcome us, and a lot of times it's in our head where we just overthink things and we think about all of those things. It makes us angry. It makes us hurt. We're depressed. We're sad. And we're scared. All of those things happen. But we know that we can go to God in prayer every single day, every single minute. And we can go to him and we can confess our faults and tell him how sorry we are and let him come in and help us in certain situations. And we need to be in prayer every single day. We can't skip prayer, can't skip out on that and think that life is going to be perfect and happy. We're going to have struggles and we'll struggle every single day. And in the flesh, we can try to deal with things on our own, but we need to ask God to help us so that we can be a light to people and to be there for other people. Can you imagine how the Lord set apart, of course, this prayer time, and he fasted for 40 days. I think I would die after one or two. There's no way. I have to eat. I have to survive with food. But 40 days, Jesus fasted and prayed, and then he was able to resist the temptations of the devil. And I realize that, just know that God knows your pain. He feels that. He's been there. He understands those things, and he wants to come alongside you and help you and partner with you and go through these things with you. Before Jesus came to earth, I can imagine him sitting on his throne in heaven and preparing, knowing that he was going to suffer, knowing that he would be beaten, knowing that they would pull his beard out and that he would suffer pain and die on the cross, knowing that he would do all of those things, it would still be worth just one soul. That's how much he loved us. To come to earth, to leave heaven, no pain, perfect, no age, eternal, gorgeous heaven, to come and live on this terrible earth because he loved us so much. again when we were traveling west, and I really did enjoy it. It was a long trip. We were exhausted, but we really did enjoy just the beauty of, we saw antelope and we saw bison and we saw all kinds of things on the road. Just the beauty of the land and all of those things. I think about how tiny I am and how big God is and how he thought that I was worth enough to come to die on a cross for me. I just can't imagine not being here and not having a God and not having life and breath and being able to worship him and be here and to hear from his word and to have that relationship with him. I can't imagine not having those things. This morning I got up, I'm alive. Thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you for the opportunity to live another day. Do we take those things for granted? And it's our nature. We get up and we drink our coffee. I don't drink coffee, but Susan got her coffee this morning, and we did, ate breakfast and just enjoying life. Are we taking that for granted? Did we stop this morning and say, thank you, God, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you for another breath. We don't have to hold our breath. We don't have to die. We have another breath. I'll give you a couple of facts here as we close. In Siberia, there are many trees, and it's super cold there, if you know about Siberia, but there's only the only air, if that was the only air that we had, those trees provide enough for us, enough oxygen for us to live. Thank you, Lord, for those things. Thank you for just those simple little facts, those fun little things that, you know, how he takes care of us and gives us life and breath every day. In Matthew, our last verse, Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. Let's read that together. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. The story here in chapter 9, verses 1, before up above here, there was one who was paralyzed. He was in his house. There was a group that were gathered in a house. Let me start over. Jesus was speaking in the home of someone, and it was very, very crowded, but there were four friends who were bringing their paralytic friend who couldn't get out of their house. He couldn't get out of the bed, and they wanted to bring him to Jesus. But he was laying in his bed, and they were trying to figure out how they could get him to Jesus in this tight crowd. So they got up on the roof of the house where Jesus was speaking. I can't even imagine trying to carefully get this bed up there and get their friend to the roof where they took off the thatched roof. They so desperately wanted this man healed, wanted this man to be before Jesus in the crowded house, that they dropped him and lowered him down from the roof. The faith that these men had, knowing that they just needed to get him to Jesus, if they could just get him in the presence of Jesus somehow, they knew that Jesus could do a miracle in this man's life. And so they lowered him down. And Jesus was so touched and impressed by what these men had done. They knew that Jesus Christ had the power. And of course, the Pharisees are there thinking, he has no authority to forgive. He says, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Now, the Pharisees got a little upset about that because they thought, well, only God has that power. But this man, he can't do that. And so they were pretty upset and started speaking against him. And of course, Jesus knows their thoughts. He knows what he's not unaware here. And so he says, well, which is easier, whether I heal him or I forgive his sins? Which is easier? He asks the Pharisees. And of course, they're standing around thinking, well, I'm not sure. They're kind of confounded at this point. And he said, heal him or forgive his sin. To me, I can't do either. I don't have the power to forgive sins or to do any of those things. I can't heal anyone. Can't come to me for healing. So, of course, they're confounded. They have no idea. And they started, Jesus spoke to this man and he says, your sins are forgiven you. Arise, take up your bed and go home. Jesus Christ had that ability. And he did that in front of all those people. And so we think about that as we close today. And I don't know what you're struggling with this morning and what you've asked God on a daily basis to help you with. I do know that we don't have to get saved every single day and ask Jesus Christ to come in our heart every single day. But we definitely want to ask for his forgiveness every day. We want to ask him to come in and rule and reign in our day and help us. There was a man that I met one day, and I knew that I knew he was kind of a bar hopper, and I knew what he did with his extra time. But I asked him one day about it, and he said, yes, I do tend to do that. And I said, well, what do you think about, you know, if Jesus is with you, would you expect that Jesus would do that? Do you think that he would, you know, come with you when you went out like that? And he said, oh, no. You know, I expect Jesus to go, you know, be with the people who go to church and all of those things. I wouldn't expect him to come to the bar. No, absolutely not. And so just asking him that, you know, I asked him, you know, what about Christ? Would he do that? What about Christians? Do they do that? People in the world know what it's like. They understand right and wrong. They understand rules. They understand all those things. You don't have to go, oh, do you know this rule? This rule says you shouldn't do this. This rule says you should do that. You don't have to tell them. They know right and wrong. They know that Jesus Christ would never do that. So, of course, that's the wrong thing to do or whatever area that you're speaking of. Are you a light? Do you know? If the world knows and you don't have to tell them, can you imagine the light that you can be when you do speak truth to people, when you do tell them how Jesus Christ came to die on a cross and how it says to abstain from sin, how he says to avoid those things in our lives? We know that we can be a light when we do. And some people go through life and they struggle and struggle, but they know because their faith is weak. Maybe because there's sin in their life, just like Peter, when he's trying to walk on the water and then he gets his eyes off the Lord, he starts sinking. He starts looking at his circumstances and looking at the things of the world and thinking, oh, this is not good. But if he just kept his eyes on God, if he just kept his eyes on Jesus, he wouldn't have sunk. And I don't expect you all to walk on water. I know that we can't do that, but we certainly can keep our eyes on the Lord and to have strong faith. We can keep our eyes on him and we can face things in the world and we can face temptations and all the negativity. All you got to do is look at the news to hear all the negativity and all the things that are taking place across our nation and all over the world. It saddens me. There's no positive news out there. There's nothing happening that's, you know, that positive, but we know that we have hope. We know that the Bible gives us positive things. We know that we have eternal life and we have eternal security. And there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering in heaven. We have something to look forward to. We have a reason to get up every morning. We have Jesus Christ whom we can have a relationship with every single day. And we should be proud to do that so that one day we can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into the kingdom. And so I know that he understands my struggles and all I have to do is give them to him. Because he's the one, the only one who can fix them. I can't fix them myself, but I have to depend on him to work in my life every single day. These struggles, I want to fix them. I want to improve, but I can't do it by myself. I have to ask God to help me. And that gives me the confidence to help others in turn. God knows my weaknesses. He knows my strengths. And he can use my strengths to glorify him. And so when you have the same thing in your life, when you've accepted Christ as your Savior, amen. Now what are you doing with that? Follow him. Be with him every single day. And I know that sometimes it feels like the struggles aren't worth it. But I know that we can enjoy a life in Jesus Christ that emptiness that the world gives. We get a happiness for about 5 minutes, and then we feel empty again. And the world, it's the same cycle over and over and over again. But to have eternal life in heaven, that beauty can be given to us when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the only other option, if you don't accept Christ as Savior, is an eternal life in hell. Jesus Christ didn't intend for you to go to hell. He didn't make it for you. He didn't create it for you. It was for Satan and his angels. But God is pure. He's holy. And he cannot accept sin in heaven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ that covers our sin can allow us to go to heaven. And without it, we die in our sin. And the only other alternative is an eternity in hell. But Jesus Christ, he loves us. And he gives us a choice to accept or reject that salvation that he gives us. Jesus Christ was offered in our place. And all we have to do is accept that free gift. It's a choice that we can make. To have joy in our life, a joy that the world can never give us. I knew someone who was just living a life of sin and depression, and they thought that drugs and things like that could make them happy, and that was what was going to make them happy and satisfied with life, but still yet they were not satisfied. And one day they learned about Jesus Christ and how he can change a heart, and his life was different, and it was like an eternal joy that was given to them. And I know that we've all had a loved one or a family member or a friend that has passed away, and you can see them just die in peace because they have Jesus Christ in their heart. And there's a huge difference if you've ever seen someone who's passed away who doesn't know the Lord, and just how tormenting and how torturous it can be. But I can only imagine just the choices that we can make in life. Accepting Jesus Christ, avoiding sin. Paul was writing here to Timothy regarding these things, about warning him and telling Timothy that, you know, he was just a young preacher, to avoid the things of the world and to be excited about the things of God. Paul was just encouraging him, and he left us with that story. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word and how you've given it to us. And they're not my words, not my ideas, Lord. My ideas wouldn't be worth much. But Lord, we thank you for what you've given to us. We thank you for those who have accepted you as Savior, for those who have a hope of eternal life in heaven. Even though we were born in sin, you loved us enough to come and die on a cross for us. We thank you for that. Being willing to take our place, to accept our sin, and to cover it with your blood. Father, we pray for those who this morning are just unsure. We pray that you'll be with our day today, Lord. Help our teenagers with the deaf church going to camp. We thank you for the hearing teens who went to camp last week. We thank you for just the time that they can learn more about you. We thank you for the safety that you gave the teens from the wilds, bringing them home safely. I know they had a wonderful time. I pray that you'll bless this service as we've been around your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
Amen. Thank you, Robert. I really appreciate the message that you gave to us this morning, and we do have an eternal God. And God is certainly concerned about every one of our souls. He's concerned about each one of us. He's created each one of us in his image, and it is his desire that each one would come to know him as Lord and Savior. And the Bible tells us in John 3:16 that he gave his son that we might have eternal life. He sent his son to the cross for our sins. I heard an illustration this week that I want to share with you. I thought it was very, very good. The gentleman that was our camp speaker, he was sharing how that he and his wife had gone to a Chinese restaurant somewhere. It was a very expensive one. I can't even remember the name of it, but anyway, it was a very, very nice Chinese restaurant, and someone had given them a $50 gift card to go there. And so he says, when we got in there, we begin to look at the menu and we realize why they gave us a $50 gift card, because it was not an inexpensive place to go. And so they ordered their meal and so forth, and they ate and they enjoyed it. And the waitress brought them their ticket, their check. And so they went ahead, and he had this gift card, and so he had that in his pocket. And anyway, in all of the process, he gave the waitress the card, and they go off and they come back, and he signs the ticket or whatever, and then they leave. And as they leave, he reaches into his pocket and pulls out the gift card. He had actually paid with his debit card and not with a gift card. And listen to me, church, that was very, very powerful for me. What Robert just told you is that God loves you, that he sent his son on to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. And when we reject him, it's the same as going into a restaurant like that and saying, well, no, I'm going to pay with my debit card. I know God paid for my sin debt. I know that's been paid for. I got the free gift card in my pocket. And we still go ahead and try to pay it on our own. Listen, you cannot pay your sin debt. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And he's already done that. And how foolish it is of us, as God's creatures, to try to pay our sin debt with our own debit card. We cannot. We have that gift card. We have that debt that's been paid. Christ paid it. And all we have to do is accept it. You know, I've had people give me gift cards before, and all I had to do is accept that. I accepted it. That's salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God, but he doesn't force it on you. You must be willing to receive his plan of salvation for you. And let what Christ did on the cross pay your sin debt. And not try to pay it yourself, because we cannot pay it ourselves. Would you stand with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a few moments this morning. You know, we have folks of all ages in our sanctuary today. We have all seen folks of all ages pass from this life to the next. We do not understand God's timing. We do not understand his plan and all of those things. But the one thing that I do know is that one day, every single one of us will stand before God, and we will give an account for what we did with that gift card. We will give an account for what we did with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you still have not accepted the gift of salvation that God is offering to you. My friend, don't put it off. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed a week or longer. None of us are guaranteed the next 5 minutes. Life is uncertain, but salvation can be sure. You can know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Christians, listen to me. As a church, you and I ought to be convicted that we are not burdened enough for lost souls around us. We're not reaching the lost around us. I would say that there's probably not a believer in this building that does not have a loved one or somebody that is lost. And I just wonder, do we pray for them? Are we really burdened for them? Christians, listen to me. We can't expect God to do great things to reach the lost if we don't first of all clean up our act and get on our knees and actually get a burden for their spiritual condition. Father, as we come before you, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you have given to us. I thank you for Robert and, Lord, the message that he has shared with us, and that we do serve an awesome, eternal God. And, Lord, that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that, Lord, we could receive him as our Lord and Savior. Lord, you know the spiritual condition of every person that is in this room, and, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, I pray that if there are some here today, and I know that there are, that do not know you as Lord and Savior, then, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring such conviction to them that, Lord, they might seek you out, that they might come so that we could take them to a prayer room and show them how that they can have peace with you. Why do we want to live our lives away from you when we can have peace with you? Lord, I pray for every believer that is here. Lord, I pray for Westford Baptist Church and Jacksonville Deaf Bible Church. Lord, that you would give us a burden for souls. And Lord, it's going to mean that we've got to get on our knees and we've got to be praying and we've got to be willing to go and surrender. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just have your will and your way in this time and this invitation now as we sing. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to hearts and that you would do only what you can do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As we sing in just a moment, if God has spoken to you this morning, maybe you need to come and pray for a loved one that's lost. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, you are pulling out the wrong card, and you're trying to pay your sin debt on your own, or you have not been willing to use that gift card of Christ dying on the cross for you to pay for your sins, and yet you know, you understand that, you've heard that. My friend, today, would you come and receive him? Let someone take you and show you how you can know for sure that God's your Savior. Father, we thank you for this day. Bless this invitation now, we pray in your name. Amen.
Josh.